Two of the most important evangelists in the earliest years of the church were Saints Paul and Barnabas. And our first lesson today speaks of a brief moment in the first years of their Christian faith, which changed the lives and the lives of all Christians in every time and place. Saul the Pharisee, better known to us as Paul the Apostle, was born to a devout Jewish family of the tribe of Benjamin, but Saul was not born in the Holy Land. He was born instead in the ancient city of Tarsus, which was then the capital of the Roman province of Cilicia, located in the southeastern corner of what is now Turkey. Tarsus was a prosperous trading center about 12 miles from the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, and it was at Tarsus that Mark Antony and Cleopatra met for the first time. Tarsus had a famous school and a splendid Greek temple, and it was home to a large community of Greek-speaking Jews like Saul's family. Saul's birth in Tarsus made him a Roman citizen, a legal distinction which would be important near the end of his life, but his Jewish parents wanted him to be educated in Jerusalem. So they sent Saul as a boy to study in the school run by the most famous rabbi of their time, Gamaliel, who was the grandson of Hillel the Elder, one of the most revered scholars of the Torah ever to live. Rabbi Gamaliel, Gamaliel's father Simeon, and even his grandfather Hillel may well have been among the teachers in the temple on the day when the 12-year-old Jesus amazed the elders with his learning and wisdom. But whether or not Gamaliel met the boy Jesus in the temple, we know for certain from chapter 5 of the Acts of the Apostles that in the early days of the church after Pentecost, Rabbi Gamaliel advised the Sanhedrin not to imprison or execute the apostles in order to determine whether their movement was of God or not. The council took the advice of Gamaliel and had the apostles beaten, but then released with a stern warning not to speak about the Lord Jesus. But out of zeal for the law as he understood it, the young Pharisee Saul did not take the advice of his teacher, and Saul then became the most fierce persecutor of the church because he believed all Christians to be guilty of the sin and crime of blasphemy. Chapter 7 of the Acts of the Apostles ends with the execution of the first martyr, Deacon Stephen. And the men who stoned Stephen to death piled their cloaks at the feet of Saul, who concurred in the killing. Then we read that Saul laid waste the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. But arresting Christians in Jerusalem was not enough for Saul. And Luke tells us in chapter 9 of Acts that Saul, still breathing murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And thus, armed with legal authority, Saul left Jerusalem for Damascus to continue his campaign of laying waste the church. We know, of course, that before Saul reached Damascus, he was knocked to the ground by a direct personal encounter with the risen Lord Jesus, who revealed himself to Saul and taught him the truth of the gospel. The conversion to Christ of Saul the Pharisee is one of the singular events in the history of the world. And between Saul's encounter with the risen Lord on the Damascus Road and the events described in today's first reading, just over 3 years elapsed, during which Saul spent most of his time in the Arabian desert, studying the Word of God and praying, most probably including at Mount Sinai. In the 30 years between Saul's conversion near Damascus and his execution at Rome, Saul visited the holy city of Jerusalem at least 5 times, and our reading today from Acts describes the first of those 5 visits. On reaching the holy city, Saul sought fellowship with other Christians, but they were afraid of him and did not believe that he was truly a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And the Greek-speaking Jews in Jerusalem, called Hellenists, wanted to kill Saul for blasphemy. Given the contempt in which he was held by both groups, Saul's life might have ended in the holy city, just like Stephen's. And if Saul had died there in Jerusalem, the history of Christianity would be fundamentally different. But a man intervened who changed everything, and his name was Barnabas. Barnabas was born on the Mediterranean island of Cyprus, like Saul, to Greek-speaking Jewish parents, but his family were of the tribe of Levi, and his birth name was Joseph. Because of his exceptional service to the persecuted church, the apostles would later give Joseph the name Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement, and it is by that name that he is known to history. Barnabas was likely also a student of Rabbi Gamaliel, and it is not inconceivable that Barnabas and Paul knew each other in school when they were still Joseph and Saul. Barnabas was a cousin of St. Mark the evangelist, and some ancient authorities believe that Barnabas was the author of the letter to the Hebrews. Barnabas was apparently among those who converted to Christ at Pentecost, or just after. And 10 years after the events described in today's first reading, Barnabas became a principal partner of Paul in his missionary journeys, starting at Salamis in Cyprus. Those journeys would not have happened except that Barnabas vouched for Saul to the apostles, as we read today. Luke tells us that the 12 did not believe Saul was a Christian, but then Barnabas took charge of Saul and brought him to the 12. Barnabas reported to them how Saul had seen the Lord and that Christ had spoken to Saul. Barnabas also testified that in Damascus, Saul had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. The testimony of Barnabas made all the difference to the church, and after this intervention, Saul moved about freely with the Christians in Jerusalem and spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. But Saul's preaching of Christ soon got him into trouble with the very same people who 3 years before, with Saul's assistance, had killed Deacon Stephen. And so to save Saul's life, the apostles hustled him out of town. Luke tells us they sent him to the seaport of Caesarea and thence on the way to his hometown of Tarsus. And at that point, Saul disappears from the story of the young church for about a decade. Perhaps during those hidden years, Saul lived at home in Tarsus and practiced his trade of tent making. But we cannot know for certain because Scripture is silent. We know only that when he reappeared about a decade later, Saul became the foremost preacher of Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and revealed as the only Savior of the entire human race. And from that time forward, he was known by the Greco-Roman form of his name, Paul. At the end of today's passage, Luke tells us that the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace. It was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord, and with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. That was the last moment for 300 years when all the church would be at peace. But even during persecution, the church would continue to be built up, to walk in the fear of the Lord, to receive the consolation of the Holy Spirit, to increase in numbers, not least through the missionary preaching of Paul and Barnabas, and those who succeeded them as disciples of the Lord Jesus and witnesses of the resurrection, which is precisely what we have been made by the grace of our baptism. After many years of toil, Paul was beheaded and gave his life for Christ just outside the walls of Rome. And Barnabas was martyred back home in Cyprus, in the city of Salamis, where he and Paul had begun their first missionary journey over 2 decades before. Though neither man was counted among the 12, they are both called apostles because they were sent by Christ with the mission of preaching the gospel during the apostolic age, which ended with the death of St. John, the beloved disciple, who was the last of the 12. Friends, from the resurrection of Jesus Christ until the last day, the church lives in the time of the Great Commission. We are all of us called and sent by our baptism to bear witness to the Lord Jesus by keeping his commandments and by teaching others to do the same. By our union of faith, hope, and love with Christ, we are strengthened by God's grace, just as branches are organically connected to their vine and so bear fruit. We are strengthened to live the law of love through word, sacrament, and the service of others, especially those in need. In all of these ways, we are privileged to share in the mission of the 12 and of Paul and Barnabas, to lead others to know, love, and serve their divine Redeemer, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. For Christos Anesti, Alithos Anesti, Christ is risen, truly he is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.